This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I'll be on the Hannity tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So the immunity case went to the Supreme Court. Why is there an immunity case at all? Why? This issue hasn't been litigated as to criminal liability and immunity until today. Since the beginning of this republic, since we've had a president, no charge has ever been brought against an ex-president. Ever. Let alone a sitting president. Since this is the first time this issue has arisen, why? Why is it the first time this case has arisen? You see, I watched the debates and the discussion among the justices. I found it very compelling. If I were in a political science class or a philosophy class, but not in a constitutional class, because there really wasn't anything said that had any constitutional strength behind it. Nothing. The Constitution says nothing about immunity. I thought it kind of precious when Kagan and Sotomayor mentioned there's no immunity in the Constitution, let alone for after an individual serves as president. Well, there's no abortion clause in the Constitution. I reminded them that too. That they don't seem to care about that. In fact, judicial review is not in the Constitution. It's an implied power. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Up until Joe Biden became president, up until Merrick Garland became attorney general, up until Jack Smith became an unconstitutionally appointed special counsel, never had to present his resume to the Senate, never was voted on by the Senate, and yet he has these enormous prosecutorial powers. Up until these three stooges came on the public scene, the idea of indicting a former president really was preposterous. None of the Justice Department memos from the Office of Legal Counsel address this. Despite all the references to other cases involving civil immunity, none of the Supreme Court decisions directly address this. Excuse me. The reason why this case is a case of first impression after almost 250 years of raucous elections, of brutal elections, of crooked elections, is because the Biden administration has decided with its prosecutor to burn down all notions of comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, tradition, and honored processes. Now, what am I talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked here before, a couple of times before, about the election of 1876, Tilden and Hayes. And just to summarize, extraordinarily close election. Tilden actually won the popular vote. Three Republican states, very, very close. But the Republicans controlled the decision-making process in those states. And they threw out a lot of votes until they could say that they were going to throw their electoral votes to Hayes. That's what they did. Then we had a case, 1876, Oregon. All of a sudden, one of the electors was the Postmaster General. Problem is, the Constitution says no elector can hold any federal office. So he was thrown off. And then Oregon was thrown into chaos. So what happened in these states? You know what they did? The three Republican states? They sent in a separate set of electors. Now, today, the court calls them fake electors. Because the prosecutor calls them fake electors. Because the media call them fake electors. There's nothing fake about them. It was a close election. An election is not decided until Congress decides the election. The news media don't decide the election. States don't even decide the election. Obviously, they participate. But under the Electoral College, both houses of Congress meet. And they either sanctify the vote or they don't. Challenges are made. Challenges were made in 2000, 2004, 2016 against Republicans who, quote unquote, won. Those challenges failed. Those challenges were made by the likes of Marxist Jamie Raskin, Sheila Jackson Lee, Waters. They failed. The Electoral College vote is not over until Congress says it's over. Not some bureau or unit within a television channel. And so these battles go on. And so a second slate of electors from three different states were sent to Congress via the archivist. Were they trying to overthrow an election? Were they trying to obstruct the victor in the election? No, it's part of the process. It's always been part of the process. And yet this is one of the arguments that Jack Smith has made in federal court. This is one of the arguments that they make in their brief to the Supreme Court about fake electors and Donald Trump's role. And that's not part of his presidential duties. Oh, and the fact that Donald Trump's lawyer, John Eastman, tried to convince Mike Pence that he had the authority to take certain actions that he wouldn't take. That came up in 1876 too, by the way, where the argument was that the vice president, then the president of the Senate, and the manager of the Electoral College vote had the power to accept or not certain electoral votes. Then the vice president decided that he did have the power, but that he wouldn't exercise it because of the hostility that would come with it. John Eastman has been disbarred in California as a result of giving what is that opinion. But it's not a crime to give an opinion, and it's not a crime to give that opinion, and that's not an insurrection, and that's not obstruction or anything of the kind. It's an opinion. Because the Constitution is silent on the point. What I'm saying is that the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, Jack Smith, and the Democrats in Arizona, in Georgia, they've criminalized the election process. What used to be acceptable practice, alternative slates, a candidate calling a Speaker of the House in a particular legislature in a particular state, all these things were part of a rough and tumble electoral process. They're not crimes. You can throw around the word obstruction or insurrection or interference. But elections are challenged at every stage, from the voting stage to the counting stage, in court, the legal stage, whether fraud has or has not been committed, they're challenged at every step by Democrats and Republicans throughout American history. Throughout American history, some of the most, aggressive elections were held early in our history, between Jefferson and Hamilton, as an example. Between Adams and Hamilton and Adams and Jefferson. Brutal. There was constant give and take, constant promises. That's our history. But it's all been criminalized now. If I were to ask you, what is legal and what is illegal today in terms of election processes, you couldn't tell me. You couldn't tell me. Can a lawyer give legal advice? Apparently not. But what if that advice challenges what's taking place or urges the vice president to take a different action? No, they'll be disbarred. Why? Why? When you understand the electoral process ends with Congress and not anybody else, this is why people fight to the bitter end. And the Democrats have done it all the time. All the time. So let's swing back to the Supreme Court today. We have Justice Coney Barrett, who is very obsessed with what's private and what's official. She turns to the prosecutor's brief and says to counsel for President Trump, well, it says here, this is private. Do you agree? Yes, that's private. Well, she's caught into the weeds of the Jack Smith model, which is the criminalization of the electoral process. Why does it matter if it's official or private? He's the president of the United States. He's running for re-election. They do these things. Al Gore was vice president of the United States running for president. He didn't just roll over and accept the election results. He litigated in one county after another after another. His lawyers weren't brought up on ethics charges or criminal charges. He wasn't accused of obstructing the outcome in Florida, trying to change the outcome with litigation. Not by any prosecutor. It wasn't criminalized, the 2000 election. Gore's lawyers didn't face ethics complaints, didn't lose their law licenses, despite the litigation going on and on and on, one county after another, as Gore tried to, quote unquote, overturn the results. Remember? It's not obstruction. And so the issue before the court really has been posed as what's official and what's not. And I posted that. That's what they're going to debate, and obviously that's what they debated. But that's not the real issue. Not a single justice in my humble opinion, understood what the real issue is and was. They've criminalized the political and electoral process. That's why there's now a struggle over what's official and what's not. They have embraced Jack Smith and the Department of Justice's criminalization of our campaign system. It's not a crime to send a separate slate of electors. You're not imposing it on anybody. Congress has the final say. It's not a crime to pick up the phone and call politicians, whether they be legislators or congressmen and so forth, ask them what they can do, legally, of course. It's not a crime. Democrats do it all the time. It's not a crime, as alleged by Jack Smith, to claim that the election was thrown and to encourage people to challenge it and to speak out against it. We used to call that the First Amendment. And look at the charges that Jack Smith has brought. 1871 Ku Klux Klan Act. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. The Enron Obstruction Act. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. In fact, the court's considering that issue now as a result of Mr. Smith. And the federal contractors, the statute that's used to charge them when they're crooked. What does that have to do with January 6th? Nothing. So this case against Trump is the perfect illustration of why a president needs immunity even after office. But more than that, it's the perfect illustration of a prosecutor gone rogue, twisting the law and criminalizing elections. That's why the court is confounded, because they don't understand what the issue was. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollar is under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professionals. Mr. Producer is going to be monitoring the legal analysts as we watch them plagiarize the argument I make, because none of them made the argument, and yet to me it slaps you right in the face. The reason this line drawing is almost impossible, and the reason they're going to figure out some middle way to throw it back to the district court, is because it should never have been in court in the first place. The political system, the campaign system, works these things out themselves, itself. In the states, at the state level, in the Congress, when the counting day arrives for the Electoral College. Not prosecutors, not grand juries. They don't sort this out. There was no obstruction. There was no obstruction. Period. I'll be right back. Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, the voice liberals fear most. And you can call Mark at 877-381-3811.
And so I would ask the justices, what now is legal or illegal when it comes to voting activities by lawyers, by activists, by state representatives, by presidents? Because the Biden administration has made a disastrous mess of everything. Separate slate of electors is not illegal. It's not a crime. It's not obstruction. It's happened. Now what? So the criminalization of the political process, particularly elections, that has taken place here because they're trying to get Trump. And it's not just at the federal level. It's by district attorneys. We now have it in Arizona, Georgia. You literally have thousands of DAs in this country. And as far as the radical left-wing justices on the court are concerned, this is perfectly fine. And their hypotheticals just go to the point of how stupid this is. What happens if the president calls in the military and martial law? That's not this case. But what happens? Well, I guess the Constitution, everything else goes to hell because now we're fighting in the streets. That's what happens. What happens if he directs SEAL Team 6 to take out his political opponent? Well, I don't know. What happens if his Department of Justice is trying to imprison his political opponent? I mean, the hypotheticals are infinite. And the more serious the hypotheticals, the more condemnatory what the court is doing. It is entertaining something it shouldn't entertain. It should quash it. Look, just because somebody handed King Solomon a baby didn't mean that King Solomon was going to cut the baby in half to accommodate the mother and the woman claiming to be the mother. As we know, the mother said, no, no, no. King Solomon did the right thing. Now the court's been handed a baby by the Biden regime and by the same prosecutor that the court renounced in an 8-0 opinion, who took a law in Virginia and stretched it and rewrote it so horribly that even the justices, every damn one of them, had to say, no, 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 you're going too far. Well, it's the same prosecutor who's doing it again, using the Enron obstruction law. And now this, immunity. The only reason immunity is raised at all is because of the conduct of the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, and this prosecutor in bringing the KKK Act of 1871, the Enron Act, and of course a federal contractor law, digging at the bottom of the barrel, dusting off statutes, trying to force facts into the statutes to take out a candidate of the opposite party, criminalizing the electoral process so nobody knows what the hell goes and what doesn't. And the court's sitting there, this Barrett got me the butt. That's private, correct? Private conduct? Yes. And that's private conduct, right? And she was so proud of herself, like she accomplished something. Accomplished nothing. With all due respect, sounded like an idiot. And then there's the Chief Justice on bribery. Let's say that somebody's up for an ambassadorship. Can you speak up, Mr. Jab? We can't. Let's say somebody's up for an ambassadorship. So the official action is that they get the ambassadorship. But let's say they paid to get the ambassadorship. Oh, you mean like they always do, by the way? But let's pretend. Let's go along. Now, let's say pray to bribe. How are we supposed to bifurcate the two, the official act from the private act? I don't know. Why does it matter? Why are you taking up this case? They've criminalized the electoral process system. You're going to sit there, and now every judge in America from now till the end of this republic is going to sit there and decide how to split the baby? In every election, the lawsuits will be flying left and right. Rather than let the politicians, the political system, the electoral system work it through and work it out. Gee, we only have done that for 250 years, but not now. No, we got Jack Smith. We've got Merrick Garland. We got Joe Biden. The whole world has to change for them. The whole world. And we got to hurry up. Got to get this done before the election. Hurry, come on, come on, come on. Hurry, 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 hurry. I'm embarrassed for these nine justices. I really was. Although Clarence Thomas made a point, and it's a good point, I've made it here. Why the hell didn't the Trump lawyers raise the issue of the unconstitutional appointment of Jack Smith? I could see the counsel for the president getting up in front of the Supreme Court if he had briefed the issue, which apparently didn't, and say, why are we here? This man who's delegated authority by a prosecutor who was unconstitutionally appointed. He has immense prosecutorial powers. He's involved in the election process. He's brought us to this court at least twice, and he wants to bring us more often. He's involved in the election process. He's never, ever had to provide his credentials to the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's never had to come out of committee. He's never had to get a vote of the Senate for confirmation. This violates the appointments clause. Well, you can delegate authority to a subordinate. Yes, you can. The attorney general can delegate authority, for instance, to a U.S. attorney. Why? Because the U.S. attorney went through the appointments clause process. He got the consent of the Senate. Jack Smith never went through the process. The attorney general cannot delegate authority to somebody like Jack Smith, who's basically a private lawyer. That's all he is. But they didn't bring it up. Oh, we brought it up in the Southern District of Florida. Well, that's great. You should bring it up everywhere and as often as you can. But putting that aside, everybody's saying, everybody's writing the same thing. Well, they're pretty much going to have to decide, you know, that the trial court's going to have to figure out some of this, and they'll give them some broad guidelines. And I guarantee you that's what's going on now. In their cloistered conference room, that's what's going on. How do we split this baby? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you cobble together a majority that says, we listened to all the arguments, and we're being asked to do the impossible. And if we wrongly balance this, which is likely, because we can't possibly conceive of every potential situation that's going to arise from today forward to the end of this republic. We cannot have courts second-guessing presidents. That this matter should never have been criminalized and never brought to this court. This is a perfect case that illustrates it. The case before the court. The case before the court is the perfect case that illustrates it. Then you have these other cases. In Atlanta, in Maricopa County, there's no end to this. And in fact, if the court rules substantially that this is okay, then I would strongly encourage Trump or the next Republican administration to do exactly the same thing as Biden. Exactly the same thing. And maybe they'll use the same law, the 1871 Ku Klux Klan Act or the Enron obstruction law. Or the federal contractor law. Yes. Both sides get to use. It's called using the law. If that's the law, if the law becomes corrupt and unjust, then that's the law. And the Democrats need to feel the wrath of what they've created here. 100%. I love it when Hillary Clinton... Donald Trump says he's going to use the law to come after his opponents. Donald Trump, they're trying to put in prison. Does she not understand the irony? Is she that stupid and moronic? Yes, is the answer. They're already doing it. Now, when we come back, I want to deal with this New York case. And I want to mention a couple of things that I don't think have been mentioned, but look, I can't read everything and know everything that everybody says, and who the hell wants to anyway. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. Don't worry, I haven't forgot the Hitler Youth. That's what we'll call them, the Hitler Youth on our college campuses. And we'll be circling back to that. The Hitler Youth in America is a key core voting bloc in the Democrat Party. The Hitler Youth, the Islamists, the Marxists, all the hate America types, the anti-Semites, the bigots, the racists, yeah. That's the new coalition of the Democrat Party. And you know what, America? The FBI director says he's not monitoring what's taking place on the college campuses. No, he's very busy, you see, monitoring MAGA, parents, the Catholic Church, pro-lifers, very busy monitoring and then warning about possible terrorism, but he won't monitor the Hitler Youth. What have they done about the Hamas funding network in the United States of America? That's funding groups like Students for Justice in Palestine, which means students for the extermination of Jews in Judea and Samaria. What's he doing about Qatar? Those little inbreds in robes and scarves. A fake country, a fake monarchy, pouring billions of dollars into our colleges and universities to turn the Hitler Youth, to create the Hitler Youth against the Israelis and the Jews. What's he doing? What's he doing about the Confucius Institutes where communist China, which has death camps all over its country, for Muslims, no less? What's he doing about that? Oh, look, we're going to be hit here. It's good for you. Good for you. We need a man of action. We get a man of no action. How many of these Hitler Youth had their student loans paid for by you and me as a result of the anti-Semite who sits in the Oval Office? That's right, I said it. Because if he's not putting on a pretty damn good show, he's counting on the Hitler Youth and the Hitlerians in Dearbornistan and other parts of the country. He's given $100 billion directly and indirectly to the Iranian Islamo-Nazis, to the Hamas mass murders, to the PLO mass murders, and all the rest of the mass murders. And a little later, I want to expand on this. The International Criminal Court, which we have never recognized, the reports are that they're going to issue a criminal warrant, Mr. Producer, for Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu and his cabinet member in charge of defense and others. And if the Biden-Blinken regime were to object and let the International Criminal Court know, the International Criminal Court would pull back. But instead, the word is that your president and your State Department have green-lighted this. Now notice, no criminal warrant for any of the terrorist leaders. No criminal warrant for the Islamo-Nazi who runs Iran. No criminal warrant for Xi in China or Un in North Korea and all the other genocidal maniacs. That's coming. And Biden's for it. And Blinken's for it. Don't tell me I can't call him an anti-Semite. He is a sleazeball extraordinaire. He can't even come out and condemn the Hitler Youth because he wants their vote. His administration has done next to nothing. Despite the little puke mouthpiece that comes in front of the Washington press corps and spews her stupidity. Yes, that's right. But before I get there, I want to talk to you about what's taking place in Manhattan against our president. That may have to wait till after the break as well. There's a couple of key points that are being missed by the legal analysts when it comes to the case in Manhattan. What's the crime? Everybody says, what's the crime? But it's worse than that. There was no crime. There was no charge against Donald Trump for a federal election law violation, a felony, let alone an adjudication, a conviction. So how does Alvin Bragg use that as the basis to turn a so-called misdemeanor where the statute of limitations has already run into a felony when he says I can use a federal violation of law to breathe life back into the state law and raise a misdemeanor to a felony, but Donald Trump wasn't charged or convicted of a federal felony? How does he get away with that? Because you have a crooked, hack, moronic, low IQ, ideological judge. More when I return. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
How y'all be? I'll be on Hannity tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You know, I took a retirement from doing other shows for a couple of months. I think it did me good. May I use my broken English, Mr. Producer? But I will be on Hannity tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and I believe I'm on with... who am I on with tomorrow? I don't remember. McCollum. Oh, yes. Who's a lovely, lovely lady and a real reporter. So, look forward to all that. I want to talk to you about this Manhattan case. I already made a point just before we took the hard break at the top of the hour that there is no underlying federal offense. Trump hasn't been charged with one, let alone adjudicated for any federal violation. So this whole thing is a smear. But there's more. A buddy of mine who's a former federal prosecutor, but it was a good one. You've heard of him before, Arthur Ferguson. He says, I haven't been following this in the most minute detail, but from my understanding of the trial, the prosecution still has not defined precisely what the alleged crime is. Oh, they've thrown around a few phrases through ideas, but it's absolutely necessary as a matter of due process for the defense of Trump to know what it is that they're defending, to know what it is that the prosecution intends to claim constitutes the crime, because only that evidence that goes to the elements of the alleged crime can be admitted. This is important. You haven't heard this before. Only the elements related to the alleged crime tied to evidence, supposed evidence, is permitted in the case. So you have this former National Enquirer publisher going on and on about stuff that have nothing to do with anything. You're allowed to plant stories. You're allowed to prevent stories. You're allowed to pay non-disclosure agreements. So let's go on. The most critical issue posed by this problem is collateral evidence. It's a phrase you haven't even heard. Collateral evidence. Collateral evidence cannot be admitted because of a number of reasons. First, propensity to commit wrongdoing is considered non-probative, or the probative value is overwhelmed by prejudice to the defendant. In other words, you can't say, but look at this. He has this libel case, and look at this. Yeah, that has nothing to do with the case in front of the judge. That is collateral evidence. It's not probative of the supposed allegation, and it is prejudicial to the defendant. The defendant, at least theoretically, is not being tried for his entire career, his entire background, all his acts. He's being tried, allegedly, for specific allegations related to the case in that courtroom. That Trump may have wanted to keep other allegations or reports of alleged personal misalliances from the public presents just this risk of procedure. And it proves nothing, absolutely nothing. The other problem with the use of collateral evidence is that it takes an inordinate amount of time to prove up and then to combat other bad acts. The trial then becomes a running game of whack-a-mole, confusing the jury, prejudicing the defendant, using up judicial and personal assets. This is a 10-day trial, not 6 weeks. The evident purpose of the use, the evident purpose of the use of collateral evidence is to keep Trump off the campaign trail. What is being done to him is an evident travesty, travesty of a law in which the New York justice system is a willing accomplice. And he cites what just happened today in the Harvey Weinstein 2020 rape conviction case. The Court of Appeals ruled the judge in Weinstein's trial improperly allowed testimony about allegations that weren't part of the case, according to the Associated Press. So Weinstein will remain in prison on his 2022 California rape conviction. But it's stupid. It's shocking. It's venal that people who don't understand the basic rights of a criminal defendant or don't care, like the conga line of slip and fall ambulance chasing lawyers on MSLSD and the Constipated News Network and the other buffoons who are commenting, it's amazing that they don't understand the basics, but they do. They just think you're stupid, so they're concealing it from you. When the judge said if Trump testifies, all this other stuff about all these other cases like the Tisha James and so forth can come in. That's what Arthur's talking about. That's collateral evidence. Has absolutely nothing to do with the case. Nothing to do with any case that's taking place right now. Zero. Nothing. That have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Be prepared for a reversal for the introduction of collateral evidence. The judge is not doing his job. In fact, the judge is doing a job on Trump. So it's very, very bad what's taking place. And then, of course, the gag rule is so utterly unconstitutional. His daughter, the judge's daughter, is allowed to talk, put out fundraising information, raise money on the trial. The so-called key witness, a serial felon, perjurer, liar, federal judge recently said he can't be trusted at all. He can do a podcast, he can attack Trump, he can attack him personally, attack him for what's going on in court, attack the fact that he doesn't want him to be president, and Donald Trump can't reply. Now, all of this is an outrage. You know it is. I know it is. These slip-and-fall ambulance-chasing grifters, a.k.a. phony lawyers, they know it, but they don't care. It's Trump after all, right? And why is the judge keeping the courtroom so cold? Trump has said many times it's too cold in there. Why is he doing that? He's doing that to upset and annoy Trump. That's the only reason. Why do they take off Wednesdays and not Fridays like most courts? Because he wanted to prevent Orthodox Jews from being in the jury pool. That's why, because they're more conservative, more pro-Trump. There's no question about it. Why did he issue this kind of a gag order? Number one, he's a constitutional illiterate and mental midget. But number two, so he could fine Donald Trump and maybe even hold him in contempt. And the sickos, the pukes, the morons dressed up as lawyers on these cable channels, they want Trump thrown in prison. Benny Johnson, as I said last week, doesn't want him to have any Secret Service protections if he's in prison. So what Benny Johnson wants is Donald Trump to be murdered. There's no doubt about it. Why would you even be thinking about that? The question is whether there's enough of us who are going to rise up on Election Day and vote and deal with this. That is, turn Biden and his Hitler youth on the college campuses, his Hitlerians in Dearborn, Michigan, his support for Iran and the terrorist surrogates that Iran funds, his billionaires and the dark money that comes into our schools to turn our kids against us and against our country, whether or not there's enough of us who are going to vote this out of office and put an end to this. And that's a serious question. Are there? Are there enough of us? Let's have a little fun, shall we? Here's Elena Kagan today to John Sauer, Trump's attorney at the Supreme Court. Cut to Mr. Producer. Go.
If a president sells nuclear secrets to a foreign adversary, is that...
See what I mean? See what I mean about these hysterically stupid hypotheticals? Because she wants to be pulled down Jack Smith's preposterous road, legal road. And Justice Kagan, my question to you is this. Why is the Supreme Court involved in the election matters at all? Why has this been criminalized? How do you distinguish 1876? 1876. How do you distinguish that from 2020? 1876 was far worse. Nobody was prosecuted. Isn't that amazing? How do you distinguish 1876, where they did what this prosecutor says is illegal, this prosecutor who's a know-nothing, who's a hunter, a separate slate of electors, Sotomayor, the dummy at the other end, she says, fake electors. She even talks like the prosecutor. Not fake electors, they're another set of electors. It's perfectly legitimate. There's nothing illegal about it. It doesn't mean they have to be accepted. It doesn't mean they're going to be counted. But if you don't send the separate set of electors and it's a close call and Congress decides to go a different way, they can't because you haven't set the set of electors. That's why three Republican states did it in 1876. How come none of them were prosecuted? 1876, Mr. Producer, by my calculation, the Klan Act was passed in 1871. Isn't 1876 5 years later? And yet the Klan Act was not used by the Department of Justice, which came into existence under Ulysses S. Grant, wasn't used against Rutherford B. Hayes, So let me ask, Rutherford B. Hayes, was he immune while he was president? Yes, but how about after he left the presidency? I understand that he was twisting, you know, pushing, pulling to get the votes. He was cutting deals. To what? To overthrow an election? To obstruct an election? No, to win an election. Because you're allowed to do that. Ask the Democrats. They do it all the time. All the time. Go ahead.
Similar to the bribery example, likely not immune. Now, if it's structured as an
all
official
right,
that's
act. Enough. This guy's good, but I couldn't take, you know. Sonia Sotomayor, the dumbest of the justices, no doubt about that. Cut three, go.
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts?
Have you ever been more embarrassed by a court in your life? Have you? Now, these extreme examples are intended to destroy the office of the presidency in order to get Trump and elect Biden. That's all. It's like, who can come up with the most inane example? Selling nuclear secrets, assassinating your opponent. And yet here we have Biden trying to imprison his opponent. This court has the potential of destroying the office of the presidency for all time. For creating a nonstop civil war in this country through the legal so-called justice system. That's what they're being urged to do by this rogue prosecutor. That's what they're being urged to do by Kagan and Sotomayor and Jackson and the usual reprobates. That's what they're being urged to do. And otherwise, Trump's above the law, you know. That's right. Four simultaneous criminal cases against one American. Never has happened, not to my knowledge, but he's above the law. Does it seem like he's above the law to you folks? Doesn't it seem like Biden's above the law? So Sotomayor, that's her example. Then we have Ketanji Brown Jackson, who couldn't tell us whether a woman is a woman. Well, I don't know. I need a biologist to tell me that. So this is the genius that's on the court. So what about women's reproductive rights? Oh, that's different. That's a real woman with a vagina. Oh, okay. Now you can define a woman. That's amazing. Cut four, go.
Let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office?
Well, let me ask you something, Justice Jackson. We've had 47 presidents, by my count. Grover Cleveland twice, of course. Is that what's happened? No, of course not. You know, it's hard to become president. You got to go through an entire process. You got to duke it out in primaries. Many people have to have real backgrounds before they can actually run, except Joe Biden, of course. And so what if a president did these things, Judge Jackson? The system would collapse. That's what would happen. Sold nuclear weapons. The system would collapse. Brought in the military. The system would collapse. There'd be no system. Criminal justice, constitutional, or any other. But what you're doing here, Jackson, Kagan, Sotomayor, is you're allowing our electoral system to be criminalized. You're going to permanently create a lawfare political civil war in this country. Who knows how it'll end? Who knows where it'll end? You're not interested in, quote unquote, the law or the Constitution, because the law and the Constitution would tell you, get this case the hell out of my court. You let this be resolved in the political and electoral system. This rogue prosecutor who's been here before, whose ass we had to kick out of here 8-0 before, he's at it again. That's the answer to your damn question. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N. We only have 30 seconds in the segment. Here we go. 30 seconds. That's all we've got. Wait till we come back, baby. Clarence Thomas jumps in. Oh, yeah. Our man. I'll be right back. Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
Right versus left is right versus wrong. Call Mark at 877-381-3811.
It be me, yes indeed. We have Clarence Thomas talking to the Trump attorney. Cut five, go.
In assessing the official acts of a president, do you differentiate between the president acting as president and the president acting as candidate?
Yes, we do. And we don't dispute, essentially, the blazing game discussion of that.
Okay.
But of course, that has to be done by objective determinations, not by looking at what was the purpose of what you did this. And that's the most important point.
Did you, in this litigation, challenge the appointment of special counsel?
Not directly. We have done so in the Southern District of Florida case, and we totally agree with the analysis provided by Attorney General Meese and Attorney General Mukasey. And it points to a very important issue here, because one of their arguments is, of course, that we should have this presumption of regularity. That runs into the reality that we have here an extraordinary prosecutorial power being exercised by someone who has never.
Too bad you didn't raise it. See, that's the problem. Right there with the Supreme Court. I understand that. Michael Dreeden, attorney for special counsel. This guy is a left-wing hack. He's been a left-wing hack for a very, very long time. John Roberts, cut six, go.
What concerns me is, as you know, the Court of Appeals did not get into a focused consideration of what acts we're talking about or what documents we're talking about because of its adoption of what you termed, and I agree quite correctly, as a tautological statement, because the fact of prosecution was enough to take away any official immunity. The fact of prosecution, they had no need to look at what courts normally look at when you're talking about a privilege or immunity question.
Well, I think I would take issue, Mr. Chief Justice, with the idea of taking
away
immunity.
Is that guy like inhaling hydrogen or something, Mr. Producer? I mean, I'm careful about this, given my voice, but this guy... Go ahead.
There is no immunity that is in the Constitution unless this court creates it today. There certainly is no textual immunity. We do not.
So in other words, Joe Biden could have been criminally prosecuted for violating the Espionage Act. Is that your point? Dummy. Go ahead.
Story. United States versus Nixon wasn't a textually based case. Neither was Nixon versus Fitzgerald. We endorse both of those holdings. But what is important is that no public official has ever had the kind of absolute criminal immunity that my friend speaks of.
Even no public official has ever been, that is, president, prosecuted after he's left office, even though some of them could have been. That's the point, America. It's not that Donald Trump is different. It's that Biden's different, that his administration decided to bulldoze through tradition and practice and ultimately the Constitution. And so they've criminalized this. And they're using three phony statutes to prosecute him. Three ridiculous statutes. And so, as I keep saying, this prosecution proves the point about how dangerous this is. The criminalization of these campaigns. I'm the only one that has the guts to point out that that's what's taking place here. Without question, go ahead.
Debate clause, it's very narrow. It's focused on legislative acts. It's not focused on everything that a congressman does. And it responds to a very specific historical circumstance that basically involved the two other branches potentially harassing legislators and preventing them from doing their jobs. That's why it ended up in the Constitution. Nothing like that ended
up. Thank you. You're dismissed. Now, Sam Alito to this guy, Michael Breeden or Dreeden, who's obviously on whatever. Cut, seven, go.
All right, let me end with just a question about what is required for the functioning of a stable democratic society, which is something that we all want. I'm sure you would agree with me that a stable democratic society requires that a candidate who loses an election, even a close one, even a hotly contested one, leave office peacefully if that candidate is the incumbent.
Of course.
All right. Now, if an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy? And we can look around the world and find countries where we have seen this process, where the loser gets thrown in jail.
So I think it's exactly the opposite, Justice Alito. There are lawful mechanisms to contest the results in an election, and outside the record, but I think of public knowledge, petitioner and his allies filed dozens of electoral challenges, and my understanding is lost all but one that was not outcome determinative in any respect. There were judges that said in order to sustain substantial claims of fraud that would overturn an election result that's certified by a state, you need evidence, you need proof. And none of those things were manifested. So there is an appropriate way to challenge things through the courts with evidence. If you lose, you accept the results. That has been the nation's experience. I think the court is well familiar
with
that.
No, actually, that's not the nation's experience. We've seen this in our own lives, ladies and gentlemen, our own lifetimes on the floor of the House of Representatives, where Democrats get up and they've challenged the election of George Bush twice. They challenged the election of Donald Trump. They're in courts challenging elections, changing the election laws. They're claiming voter suppression, voter repression when they lose. What is he talking about? We accept the results. Al Gore didn't accept the results. He was suing and suing and suing in one county after another. But Donald Trump didn't call out the military to take over the government. Donald Trump didn't lead an insurrection. That's why they couldn't charge him with insurrection. Donald Trump didn't do any of those things. And he fought them tooth and nail right to the end, and he still fights them. And he's allowed to do that. It's America. You can't criminalize these things, and yet that's what they've done. That's why this guy sounds like an idiot. Like he's inhaling hydrogen or something. We accept the elections afterward. Oh, really? Donald Trump wins. They've tried to impeach him twice. They launch a criminal investigation. They use Russia collusion. Oh, yeah, yeah. We accept the election results. All the time, don't we? No, I don't think we do. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N. Let's see, Mr. Producer, what would you have me do here? Let's go to Sam Alito again. Cut 8, go.
I mean, Mr. Sauer and others have identified events in the past where presidents have engaged in conduct that might have been charged as a federal crime, and You say, well, no, that's not really true. This is page 42 of your brief. So what about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged under 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against civil rights?
Today, yes, given this court's decision in Trump versus United States, in which Trump versus Hawaii, excuse me, where the court said Korematsu was overruled. I mean, President Roosevelt made that decision with the advice of his attorney general. That's a layer of
safeguard. Is that really true? I thought Attorney General Biddle thought that there was really no threat of sabotage, as did J. Edgar Hoover.
So I think that there is a lot of historical controversy, but it underscores that that occurred during wartime.
So he can't answer it. Occurred during war. Well, whatever. It occurred. And locking up innocent American citizens because of their race is a crime. It was a crime in the 1940s, and it's a crime today. So FDR could have been charged. Of course, he died before he could have been, but he could have been, at least theoretically. And this is what is going to transpire. And I've made the case, and some backbenchers have now regurgitated it, that Joe Biden can be charged for failing to enforce our immigration laws leading to the deaths of American citizens, not upholding the Take Care Clause of the Constitution, leading to the enslavement of women and children, sexually abused, fentanyl coming across the border, killing American citizens. You know what? I could write that bill of indictment. That's sitting and waiting for Joe Biden, I hope, if Donald Trump becomes president. And why shouldn't it? Joe Biden's lawyers are in court arguing that it should be. It doesn't just say for Republicans, it's for Democrats too. Isn't it? Cut 9, Brett Kavanaugh, go.
How about, I think it came up before, President Ford's pardon. very controversial in the moment.
Yes.
Hugely unpopular, probably why he lost in 76.
Yes.
Now looked upon as one of the better decisions in presidential history, I think, by most people. If he's thinking about, well, if I grant this pardon to Richard Nixon, could I be investigated myself for obstruction of justice on the theory that I'm interfering with the investigation of Richard Nixon?
So this would fall into that small core area that I mentioned to Justice Kagan and Justice Gorsuch of presidential responsibilities that Congress cannot regulate.
How about President Obama's drone strikes?
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply.
And let me help you out there, Counselor. The Office of Legal Counsel is headed by a presidential appointee. That is, presidential appointee right now under Joe Biden. And so if Trump comes in or another Republican president comes in, they will change the leadership of the Office of Legal Counsel. That could just as easily say, yes, of course. When Barack Obama killed American citizens, it's chargeable. And then they can make the same argument that Smith and their supporters in the corrupt media are making, which is, hey, it's just a trial. Doesn't mean he's guilty. He just goes through the process. He has to defend himself. What's wrong with that? Nothing. You see where this is going? You see who's taking us here? When we come back, I just want you to know how ridiculous this case is. Because they criminalized the 2020 election, the fighting that took place, and the controversies, and the challenges, and the legal advice, and the free speech comments, and the second grouping of electors, all of which is legal and constitutional. They've criminalized it all. And so now they've created this problem for themselves. They're in this maze. How do we get out of this maze? We got to figure out middle ground. We got to be able to throw it back to the trial judge. They need to find a finding of fact on something. We got to figure out what it is. We got to create new tests. We got to create, is it plausibility? Is it reasonableness? We got to figure something else. What do we do? What you do is you say, this is not the purview of the Department of Justice. It's the purview of the election and political system. I'll be right back. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer? Woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here with cholera. My number, 877-381-3811. Hello! 877-381-3811. Our work is never done. I will be on Hannity tonight, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Man, do we have a hell of a show for you on Saturday on Life, Liberty, and Levin. Please DVR the show. You never know if you're going to have to miss it. Something comes up. Same with the Sunday show. Killer shows, both of them. I encourage people, just set your DVR for now in perpetuity, to 8 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday. Doesn't use electricity or energy. You just set it just in case. President Trump was outside the New York City courtroom this afternoon. What they're doing to him makes me sick to my stomach. Literally. Literally makes me sick to my stomach. And yet he has more pearls of wisdom than Joe Biden has ever had in 81 or 82 years of his pathetic life. Let's go to cut 10. Go.
They don't want MAGA here. They don't want anybody. And this thing is locked down like a buttoned-up vest. And it shouldn't be. If they did the same lockdown at Columbia, NYU, and the colleges and universities, you'd have no problem whatsoever. But there, you can put tents up. You can stay as long as you want. But this courthouse is locked down. There's not a person within five blocks. They have more police here than... And I call them New York's finest because that's what they are. And they don't want to be doing this either. They'd like to be straightening out conditions. And they'd like to be at the colleges and making sure that they don't have what's happening. Because what's happening at the colleges is a disgrace. All over the world, people are laughing at us. This is the worst run country right now, probably anywhere. Just about. You don't get much worse.
Cut 11, go.
You see what's happening on the front, having to do with Palestine and Israel and protests and hate, anger. Biden is sending an absolutely horrible message. Horrible, horrible message. He has no idea how to message. He can't speak. He can't put two sentences together. He doesn't know what to do. This is not our president. This is somebody that shouldn't be doing what he's doing because he can't do it. He can't do it well. We're having protests all over. He was talking about Charlottesville. Charlottesville was a little peanut. And it was nothing compared, and the hate wasn't the kind of hate that you have here. This is tremendous hate, and we have a man that can't talk about it because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand what's going on with our country. He doesn't understand that all over the world we're being laughed at as a country because of him and his administration.
And he needs the Hitler Youth vote. That's what he needs. So he sides with Iran, a Hitlerian regime. He sides with Hamas. Hitlerian terrorists. He sides with Hezbollah and the Houthis. Hitlerian terrorists. I want to read something to you from our friends at the JNS, a syndicate, JNS. The International Criminal Court in The Hague would not be considering issuing, listen to this, arrest warrants for Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and senior Israeli officials without the approval of the United States. According to a Channel 12 report that is in Israel, citing senior sources associated with the International Criminal Court, the sources at The Hague said that it is impossible that the chief prosecutor is a radical leftist Marxist anti-Semite would have decided on such a dramatic step in a war that is still ongoing. With very little evidence, if he had not at least gotten a green light from the Americans. If this is true, this is another and unprecedented low in relations between Israel and the United States at a very sensitive time on the eve of the ground entry to Rafah, wrote Israeli journalist Amit Siegel. ICC chief prosecutor, ready for this, Karim Ahmad Khan. Oh. Karim Ahmad Khan has served in his position since February 12, 2021, when he was elected with American support. Gee, who was President Biden? Who was State Department Secretary? Oh, Blinken. See, they're doing Biden Blinken's dirty work. I'm telling you how sick this bastard is in the White House. The Channel 12 article notes that since then he has closed two cases that greatly troubled the Americans on undeclared detention related to Afghanistan and Europe and to war crimes allegedly committed in Afghanistan. Channel 12 reported last week about Israeli concerns that high-ranking officials, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, could be subject to arrest warrants of the prosecution of the war against Hamas and arrest warrants? Arrest warrants? Given the green light by Biden and Blinken? According to the report, emergency meeting was held at Netanyahu's office on April 16. The presence of Israeli Strategic Affairs Minister Ron Dermer, Justice Minister Yariv Levin, Foreign Minister Israel Katz. The four decided to take urgent action with international authorities to prevent the arrest of Israelis abroad, according to the report. Now, let me tell you why this is not only sickening in and of itself, but this court could issue criminal warrants against American soldiers who served in Afghanistan. We're opening the door to allow this court to go after American soldiers, American generals on the battlefield by encouraging them to go after Netanyahu and his government. This court will now have precedential powers, not presidential, precedential powers. Even though we don't recognize the court, Biden, as usual, has skirted our law and is recognizing the court. He urged the court to issue a criminal warrant against Putin, and that's what it did. Now, behind the scenes, they're urging this court to issue a criminal warrant against Netanyahu. Now, I see Senator Tom Cotton speaking out, posting information, very upset about what's taking place. I see Elise Stefanik doing the same thing. I don't see anybody else. Maybe they're out there. I'm not seeing it. Waiting for the Freedom Caucus. Waiting for Marco Rubio. Waiting for all these guys. Where are they? And we should be sanctioning this court, this so-called phony court. They don't go after Xi or Un. They don't go after the Islamo-Nazi who runs Iran or Turkey. Why is that? Somebody should ask Karim Ahmad Khan. I think I know why. And who is it that's filing these complaints against Netanyahu? Oh, it's the Palestinians. They are. They are. Now, this comes on the heels of a report that was issued by our Department of State, which is a rat's nest for Islamists and Marxists, an American-hating scum. Did I say that? I did. Led by a traitor. This comes on the heels of them using a radical left-wing anti-Israel NGO, non-governmental organization, to issue a report, 103 or so pages, listing the worst offenders when it comes to war crimes. And you know the number one country your State Department issues it or mentions? Israel. Israel. Don't tell me this bastard in the Oval Office isn't an anti-Semite. Every way possible, he's trying to destroy that country. He needs the Hitler Youth vote at Columbia. He needs the Hitler Youth vote at Yale. He needs the Hitler Youth vote at USC. And now St. John's. He needs the Hitler Youth vote. They got the, not Hamas, the Hitler wing of the Democrat Party with Tlaib and Omar and AOC and all the other bastards over there. And Chuck Schumer says nothing. And Gillibrand from New York, nothing. She's in the witness protection program. Hakeem Jeffries, constantly trashing the Republicans. He says nothing. Nancy Pelosi's in Ireland. She says Netanyahu is the problem. He's why we don't have peace. Not the terrorists. Not Iran. No, Netanyahu. Another sleazeball. That old bag, it's time for her to step aside. She's done such a fantastic job for San Francisco and California and has undermined our country at every turn. A disaster. You know, I said it and Donald Trump said it, so I'll say it again. If you're Jewish and you vote Democrat, you're insane. You're on a suicide mission. And many of you will. If you're an American, regardless of your faith, and you vote Democrat, you must hate your country. You must hate your military. You must hate the cops. You must hate real justice. You must hate merit. You must hate a secure border. You must hate your fellow citizens. You must hate, 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 because that's the Democrat Party. That's their theme. Mr. Racist, segregationist, anti-Semite, who's in the Oval Office, talking about the lack of equity in America. This is the bastard who's saddled up with the racists and the segregationists, lecturing you and me. I've never saddled up with a racist or a segregationist. Have you? He did. And now he saddles up with Iran. And he literally wants Netanyahu and his senior team to be subjected to a criminal warrant for war crimes by a radical Marxist globalist court that Donald Trump completely rejected. Donald Trump had a magnificent presidency. It was magnificent despite everything they tried to do to him. Just like now, everything. This man hasn't had a second's peace. Not a second's peace since he announced that he'd be a Republican running for the Republican primary in 2015. He hasn't had a second's peace. Look what they're doing to him. Look at the Supreme Court.
Wait, what if he's selling nuclear? And what are you going to do?
The insanity. The idiocy of some of these justices who are being played for fools through the criminalization of the election process, the criminalization of our campaign process. We're now at a point that nobody knows what the hell you can do or you can't do. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our friend, the great patriot, Kash Patel. How are you, brother?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Kash Patel, the Biden administration is funding Iran through the front door and the back door, which means it's funding these terrorist organizations. It's arming Iran. It's using this money to build up its military. It's funding Iran's nuclear development. They're at the precipice now. They refuse to cut off the oil that they're selling to China. And, of course, they're also involved in providing drones to Russia. Now, count me skeptical, but this isn't the way a president is supposed to conduct himself, funding the enemy. Isn't this worse than Neville Chamberlain?
I wish the resuscitation of facts you just laid out was a farce, but tragically, it's absolutely true. And thank you for bringing up the nuclear deterrent component of Iran. People forget that now. When we were in the Trump administration, it was the number one thing in the national security arena we built a defense around. Iran could never get a nuclear weapon. It's why he withdrew out of the JCPOA and the Obama deal. But Biden went back into it, opened up the piggy banks, gave him $6 billion, and now we have no insight through any regulators into Iran's nuclear weapons program, putting aside the fact that they are still the number one state sponsor of terror and flush with $10 billion thanks to Joe Biden. I mean, this is literally funding the enemy that launched a world war into our number one ally, Israel's home country. And Americans are still held captive there today by Hamas, the Iranian Hamas terrorist proxy force. It is a grotesque display.
And they never talk about the American hostages, ever. Any more than they talk about the Americans they left behind in Afghanistan. Any more than they ever talk about the Americans that are dying as a result of the open border. And that Joe Biden is the biggest slaver in American history with the sex slavery that's going on. All these human rights abuses, all of our people being held hostages, our people being killed in Afghanistan and otherwise. This guy's never held to account, even by his own party or the media. It's amazing, is it not?
It's the Trump derangement syndrome effect on steroids. This country and its leadership is willing to be so overly political in their desire to, quote unquote, get Trump, that they will literally do the things intentionally that you just outlined. I mean, any one of those things for a commander-in-chief to allow on his watch would be a national security emergency. One hostage alone in captivity by terrorists is a national security emergency. Now we have hundreds. One soldier's death alone in a never-ending war because of a political decision is a national security emergency. Joe Biden killed 13 in Afghanistan, 3 in Syria, and 2 in the Red Sea, and he didn't even have the audacity and compunction to call their families. This is the type of leadership that's there, and the media is running cover for them because all they want to do is have him reelected so Donald Trump doesn't go back to the White House. That's how much they hate our country.
And they hate it so much that you have these Hitler youth running around at colleges and universities. They're not checking their student visa status. They're not seeking to deport anybody. The White House announced that they will not bring in the National Guard to quiet these campuses. We haven't heard a damn thing from Schumer or Gillibrand in New York. We haven't heard a damn thing from Hakeem Jeffries. And, of course, we haven't heard anything serious from Joe Biden, who's always playing the moral equivalency card because this Hitler youth, that's a core part of their base and their voting, isn't it?
No, you're absolutely right. And it's, look, it didn't happen overnight. This degradation of society and this importation of illegal immigrants and also Hitler youth style folks and terrorists into our country happened because the United States under Joe Biden's leadership said, you're welcome here as long as you vote for us. We don't care if you're illegal. Don't get an ID card. We'll give you money. We'll give you housing. Come here, protest. And it was actually ironic. Some of the protesters have been interviewed in New York at these campuses. And when asked, what are they protesting for? They have no idea. They have not been educated on it. Literally, someone handed them a check or a wad of money and said, you just go here and do this. And Joe Biden is allowing it because he knows the only way that he can beat Donald Trump come November is by importing these folks by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and allowing them to vote illegally and rig a presidential election. That's why he's not saying anything.
When we come back after the break, Kash Patel, it seems like every day the State Department is looking for ways to destroy the state of Israel. Now we know that the International Criminal Court, which is a bogus, radical left court, a globalist court that does not have any jurisdiction as far as we're concerned, is planning on issuing a criminal warrant against Netanyahu and his senior staff at the encouragement, apparently, of the Biden administration. I'd like your view on that. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the thunder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Our friend Kash Patel is with us. By the way, he wrote a fantastic book called Government Gangsters. You can get it at Amazon.com. Government Gangsters. He was here when it came out. It's really a fantastic book if you haven't gotten it. So, Kash Patel, this story from JNS, the International Criminal Court in The Hague, would not be considering issuing arrest warrants for the Prime Minister of Israel and his senior staff without the approval of the United States, according to a Channel 12 report citing senior sources associated with the ICC. Can you believe, with all the mass murder genocide maniacs on the planet, that this administration, Biden and Blinken, are encouraging this phony international court to issue criminal warrants against the prime minister elected by democratic peoples? Can you believe that?
Tragically, I can. I mean, remember, the ICC is something the U.S. has never been a signatory to and legally not binded to by anything. But now the weaponized system of justice that used to just be exploding in the United States of America, they have taken it abroad and exported it for political purposes. It's no secret that Joe Biden does not like Netanyahu, and it's no secret that Tony Blinken wants to take the State Department and put it on steroids and enter into other people, other powers' political currency. And now they're going to use an ICC, which, of course, I 100% believe would never act to issue an arrest warrant for a political leader such as Benjamin Netanyahu without the tacit asking of Biden and Blinken. And they are looking to take out not just their enemies domestically, but across the world. But Mark, my question to everybody that's writing this stuff and proposing this and supporting it is, where's the arrest warrant for the Hamas terrorists that invaded Israel and killed thousands of people and are holding hundreds of Americans and Israelis hostages to this day? Where are those arrest warrants?
Does Biden ever talk about the Americans held hostage? They did a video. Hamas did one of them. The guy lost half of his arm. He lost his hand. And you don't even hear a thing from Biden and Blinken about it. It's just we have people in the government who are using the instrumentalities of government, who are using the power of government against us, aren't they? Against the American people.
Yeah. No, you're right. Look, hostages, that was one of my portfolios when I ran counterterrorism for President Trump. It's something very near and dear to me. I ran operations, policies, and President Trump, because he cared about hostage retrieval so much, we rescued 54 of them in his presidency. That's more than every president before him combined. That's how you go get hostages, when you put Americans first, our intelligence collections efforts first. But when you take your time in the Oval Office to issue edicts through the International Criminal Court to oust your political enemies, people that get stranded and forgotten are American hostages. People that get stranded and forgotten are U.S. soldiers, and they get left in the ground because Joe Biden's political disasters. And now he's going after the political opponents of our number one ally in the world in Israel. And unless we do something about it here, this is going to continue waving over the entire world. And it's up to us in November to get it right, because unless we put this front and center, they're going to let it occur. The ICC, that's where people like Jack Smith work. So that'll tell you anything about that.
Now, what's interesting about this to me is the Biden administration is in the Supreme Court today arguing there is no such thing as immunity. Now, putting aside arguments I've made that this is the criminalization of politics, it should never have even gotten to the Supreme Court. Nobody should have been charged for anything. Now, putting that aside, do they understand that means if the court rules with them, that Joe Biden can be prosecuted for all the horrors that have occurred on the border because he's violated the Constitution and federal immigration law? Do they understand that people will and should, and let me repeat it, should look for reasons to indict Joe Biden once he leaves office? Because if that's now the coin of the realm, then so be it.
They absolutely do realize it, but here's how evil they are. They think if they win this short-term fight, which, and I completely agree with you, is totally unconstitutional, the position that their DOJ and Joe Biden have taken. If they win it now, then they think they can rig the system between now and another Biden administration to make sure that they selectively continue to operate. They don't care about the Constitution and its actual privilege. If they did, they would know a decision that came in against Trump would also be a decision that came in against Obama, Bush, and Clinton, like when Obama killed a guy named Alexander Marsawi overseas, an American citizen who was a terrorist. He had the right to kill him. It was righteous action to do so. But are we going to open him up to criminal and civil liability because he did so? A ruling by the Supreme Court against Donald Trump would do just that. So I don't think they care. And I think they will try to rig the courts if they win this election by taking out justices, adding more justices, and recreating our constitutional republic until it is no longer a version that our founding fathers had created.
You know, the political landscape is strewn with dead, brilliant people. And I'm talking about Joe Biden destroying their reputations through character assassination, whether it was Bork or Clarence Thomas or scores of other judicial nominees or nominees for other positions in Republican administrations. That's all this guy knows, is these mob tactics, because he's a thoroughly stupid man, but he's an egomaniac, he's a narcissist, and that is what we have in the White House. So he doesn't mind. He wants Trump in prison. He wants Netanyahu in prison. He wants him deposed. He wants the American people deposed. That's why the open border. This is a man who is unscrupulous, who's unethical, who's immoral. And look what he's doing to the country. Do you think there's going to be enough people in this country who wake up to this?
We're going to have to keep pounding the pavement until they do. When, you know, I'm emboldened by the fact that when Donald Trump rolls out into New York City and checks out the construction workers, how much support he has at a last minute showing. And that tells me that those folks are representative of the entire United States of America. Everyday Americans are pouring into Donald Trump's support because they realize the two-tier system of justice is railroading Trump, but it's coming for them after they're done with him. And Joe Biden is the architect of that system. And Joe Biden doesn't care about democracy. He cares about a totalitarian dictatorial regime that he can implement and that he's been working on for 55 years in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is it. This is what you get when you have someone who worked his entire life for 55 years in Washington. They become the most corrupt, egomaniacal, self-fulfilling individual in U.S. history. And along the way, they destroy our country. They kill our youth with Chinese fentanyl. They allow our border to explode, and they allow multiple world wars to happen because why? Their friends get paid in the defense industrial complex, and they know Donald Trump will end that. And I think Americans are waking up to it.
Well, you're terrific, Kash Patel. We really appreciate you here. The book is Government Gangsters. Anything else you want to tell us before you go?
No, that's it. Government Gangsters. The movie is coming out next month. It's a bestseller.
Really?
It's a roadmap for taking out the deep state.
Well, we'll have to watch that. All right, brother, take care of yourself. God bless you.
Thank you, my friend.
The governor of Pennsylvania is a guy named Josh Shapiro. He's a leftist. He pretends to be a moderate. And I want you to listen to how he talks on CNN yesterday about the Hitler Youth and what's taking place. Cut 12, go.
Well, I think we need to restore some order on campuses at Columbia and across this country. Certainly, students and others have a right to peacefully protest in adherence with university policy and the laws of the city and the states they're in. I think what's important is that we can't allow peaceful protest about a disagreement on policy happening in the Middle East to be an excuse for anti-Semitism or Islamophobia on these campuses.
All right, hold on. You see what I mean? What's this Islamophobia? I don't care what bogus figures the Hamas front group CARE puts out. Islamophobia. You know, the thing is, the president of Colombia was asked specifically by Islamophobic, that is, Omar, who hates Muslims who don't agree with her. She's an Islamist. If there are threats or protests against Muslims on her campus, she said no. No. And yet here's the governor of Pennsylvania, just like Biden, just like the rest, who have to put that in there. They are not willing to identify the problem without the but or the and. Go ahead.
That puts certain students at risk to be able to go to classes safely or to be able to worship safely. And universities have a responsibility to ensure the safety and well-being of their students and to make sure that the rules of the university are being followed.
But all I right, see thank from- you. Now, I want you to listen to Jake Tapper's response, which is the main point here of CNN. Really promoting Hamas, trashing Netanyahu, doing the bidding of the Islamists, the Marxists, doing the bidding of the Biden administration. Cut 13, go.
How is it out of control? I mean, there are lines. Everybody, it's so subjective. Everybody has their own view. Somebody holds up a sign. I saw one at University of Texas earlier today that said something about Palestine, and it's a map of all of Israel, including the West Bank and Gaza, as if that is all Palestine. Does that cross a line? Some Israeli might say, you're saying that Israel shouldn't
exist
anymore.
No, you dumb bastard. Poking somebody in the eye with a flagpole that has a Palestinian flag on it, or a Hezbollah flag, actually, that's a problem. Kids being forced to run into libraries and the cafeterias and lock the doors. Kids who can't go to their classes. Kids who can't wear their yarmulkes or their Star of Davids. Hill owls being threatened and having graffiti on them. Little Kristallnachts. Jake, I don't know. Do you know history? That's the problem. Jake. There are lines. They're not amorphous. There are lines. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump defending his liberty, defending his life's freedom in a Soviet-style courtroom in New York City has been told he can't say anything. Jake Tapper's not worried about his free speech, but how is this out of control, he asks. How's it out of control in our colleges and universities? I don't know. Sending up tent cities, blocking Jewish kids from going to class, forcing a Jewish professor out of his job, and we can go on and on. The list is a very long one. Jake is supposed to be a journalist. He's supposed to be a reporter, but he's not, and he never has been. He's not, and he never has been. Go ahead.
There are chants from the river to the sea that some people say are just an expression about freedom.
Oh, it's just an expression. I want you to ask yourselves a question, America. Would Jake Tapper be asking like this if it were MAGA and black students? Would he be acting like this? Absolutely not. This is what I mean by self-hating Jews. This is what I mean. And he's one. And there's no question about it. Go ahead.
People say, no, that's calling out. That's calling for the elimination of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. Where do you draw the line when it comes to what you consider to be out of control?
There you go. He's complicated with the line. But with Trump, we know, needs to shut up or go to prison. Where do you draw the line? Well, let me help the boy out. First of all, you look at the codes at the schools. Secondly, you look at the hate crime statutes. Thirdly, if individuals, victims who are being oppressed and suppressed and repressed, if they feel they can't go to their classrooms because of threats, if Hillel fraternities can't open, and we have literally thousands of examples and people who are witnesses to this, that would be a problem, Jake. But you don't see it because you're blinded by your stupidity. And worse, actually. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I'll be on Hannity. 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Might be worth watching, Mr. Producer, just to see if I cough. And how many times I cough, and you people can bet with each other. I'll do my best for God and country. All right, let's take a caller. Michael, Wilton, Connecticut, WABC. Go right ahead, Michael.
Hi, Mark. I've worked in law for 45 years or so as a law clerk in major law firms. And one of the things that lawyers are very concerned with is their license. And they don't want to be sanctioned. They don't want to be disbarred. And when I see all these things going on, I wonder why there are no disciplinary actions brought against attorneys. For example, those attorneys who swore false affidavits which led to FISA warrants, to my knowledge, were never disbarred.
No. The one guy, he was charged. And he pled guilty to one charge. And the bar in D.C., which is radical left, did not move against his license. And I believe the court cut short his sentence. So they didn't even smack him on the wrist.
Yeah. Another example.
And in New York, there's no point because the bar is ultra radical Democrat. There were efforts to get this Judge Marchand to recuse himself. And basically, the ethics committee involved sent the word back that, well, his donations were de minimis and we don't see any conflicts here. That's the problem. The system is fixed in these blue states. That's why they keep bringing these cases against him. Alan, I'm out of time. Excuse me, Michael, I'm out of time. Please call again. I apologize. See you on Hannity in 30 minutes, America. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers. The freedom fighters in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in Israel. Most of all, you, my fellow citizens. God bless each and every one of you. I'll see you tomorrow right here. I'll see you on Hannity in 30 minutes.